body of the book.
And we had the point, وَأَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَهُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ وَأَعْظَمُ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ الشِّرْكِ. And the greatest thing, or the worst thing that Allah, or rather the greatest thing that Allah commanded, the greatest thing that Allah commanded is Tawheed. And it is to single out Allah with worship. And the greatest thing, or the worst thing that He forbade is Ash-Shirk, is Shirk. So who can remember, with regard to Tawheed, the tawheed that is required from the servants is which? Is what? What is the tawheed that is required from the servants? Indeed, it is tawheed al-uluhiyyah, tawheed of worship. That is the tawheed which is required from the servants, required from the people. That is the tawheed for which the people were created, so that they should establish tawheed of worship. And we had, in what we had, the explanation of the word from the ayah, from sort of Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We had the meaning of يَعْبُدُون. Who can remember the meaning of يَعْبُدُون, as explained by the author and by the Shaykh Azul, Shaykh Fawzan? يَعْبُدُون, يَعْنِي. The ayah with the explanation, I did not create jinn and mankind except for the purpose of Ya'budun. They should worship me. The author and Shaykh al-Fawzan in explanation likewise mentions the meaning of Ya'budun is Yuwahidun. They should single me out with all worship. Not just they should worship Allah and then do whatever they wish at as well alongside. Rather, Yuwahidun. They should worship Allah alone. And we have the point that no doubt this is the tawheed required from the people, and what is required from the people is not tawheed ar-rububiyyah, tawheed of lordship, the tawheed which is the affirmation that Allah is the creator, Allah is the giver of life, the giver of death, the one in control of affairs, the one who gives provisions, tawheed of lordship. That is not what is required from the servants, demanded from the servants. And as the Shaykh mentioned, this is not sufficient. And he mentioned a point why this is not sufficient. That a person affirms that Allah is his Lord, Allah is his provider, Allah is the one alone who alone gives life and death. Why is this not sufficient? Shaykh made a point here. Why is that not sufficient for people with regard to Tawheed? Shaykh made the point, this is something which exists in the innate natures of all of the people, in the fitr. The fitr of every person has that within it. And the people of sound intellect, they already know that. They already know it for sure. That Allah is the sole creator. No one else created the heavens and the earth. No one else created mankind. This is inbuilt in people's natures. So it's already there. And that is not sufficient to make a person of Tawheed, not sufficient to make a person a believer. And as the Shaykh mentioned, nobody truly denies that. No one truly and sincerely in his heart believes that there is someone who created the heavens and the earth besides Allah, or who created mankind besides Allah. No one truly believes that. Even if upon their tongues some people may say some crazy thing, no one truly in their hearts believes that. Who can answer the question that which out of the sins, which sins are greater than shirk? Which sins and how many are greater than shirk? No, trick question, no. No sins are greater than shirk. Shirk is the greatest of all sins. Murder and theft and whatever you may name from sins and major sins, they are less than shirk. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he mentioned as proof for that, he mentioned a couple of ayahs, which mention a list of prohibited things. And he used those ayahs to show that shirk is the worst sin. How did he explain from those eyes of sin? How did he use them to show that shirk is the worst? It was a list of sins. So how can it be said shirk is the worst? How did the Shaykh say these eyes show that shirk is the worst? From what aspect or what angle? Yeah. And each of the evidences, the Shaykh quoted some ayahs. He also quoted some hadith from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regard to the seven destructive sins. And in all of these cases that Shaykh mentioned and mentioned in previous lessons, the evidence is that Allah the Most High begins the ayahs where he mentions a list of prohibited things, including murdering your children. He mentioned at the beginning of each list the prohibition of shirk. First he mentioned shirk. So this is an evidence, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned avoiding these seven destructive sins, first thing he obeyed was shirk. So the fact it is quoted first in each of these times shows it is the worst of sins. Who can answer the question with regard to the difference in the hereafter between a person of sin, a person of major sin, and between a person of shirk, a mushrik? What will be the difference between the two in the hereafter? Shaykh made the point that another matter which clearly highlights the seriousness of shirk is that major sins, even though they're something very, very serious and they carry a threat, and the person who dies upon major sin is under the threat of the hellfire, and if Allah wishes, but yet if Allah wishes the person of major sin, Allah will forgive him and not enter him into the fire, and if Allah wishes, he will punish him, person of major sin, in the fire for some time and then take him out. Whereas the person of shirk, the mushrik, who dies upon shirk, he will enter the fire and he will not come out of the fire. He will remain in the fire. So that clearly shows the difference between even major sin. So the person eventually is a Muslim upon major sin. Either he will be forgiven by Allah, he's beneath the mashia, the wish and will of Allah. Either Allah will forgive him what he did and enter him straight into paradise, or Allah will punish him in the fire for some time and take him out. Whereas the person of shirk, he will never come out from the fire. We do not say he is beneath the person who dies upon major shirk, he is beneath the wish and will of Allah. No, we don't say that. Rather, he will be in the fire forever. No hope of coming out. Then, to continue on what occurs in this Lebanese print on page 87, on the Egyptian print, which many of you have, on page 68. So having just said, the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, having just said, وَأَعْظَمُ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ الشِّرْكِ, and the most serious thing which Allah forbade is shirk. The author, Shaykh al-Islam, then said, وَهُوَ دَعْوَةُ غَيْرِهِ مَعَهُ, and it is to call upon other than him along with him. So he brings the definition of shirk. To call, just to call upon other than Allah along with him. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, said in explanation, this is the ta'arif, this is the definition of shirk. Huwa da'watu ghayrihi ma'ahum. It is to call upon other than him along with him. Meaning that something from ibadah, that something from worship, is directed to other than Allah. Whether it be an angel from the angels, or a prophet from the prophets, or a righteous person from the righteous people, or a building from the buildings, or other than that, from all the created beings. So whoever directs anything from ibadah, whoever directs anything from worship to other than Allah, then this is the greatest thing that Allah has forbidden. This is shirk. So know the explanation of Tawheed. Shaykh is giving us a command here. So know, you should know the explanation of Tawheed. and the explanation of shirk. We should know what is the definition of tawhid, what tawhid is, and we should know the definition of shirk, what shirk is. We shouldn't think, we shouldn't have, not know, we shouldn't think, we shouldn't have some vague idea. We should exactly know what is tawhid and what is shirk. When we realize the importance of tawhid and the seriousness of shirk, we need to know what is tawhid and what is shirk. So the Shaykh said, so know the explanation of tawhid and the explanation of shirk, because there are from the people those who explain tawhid with other than its true explanation, and those who explain shirk with other than its true explanation. Then the Shaykh goes on to give some examples of this. And these are not rare examples, these are common examples. You can hear people defining shirk in this way, or defining tawhid in this way. So the Shaykh said, from the people are those who say that shirk, who are shirk fil hakimiyya. From the people there are those who say that shirk is shirk regarding hakimiyya, judgment and legislation. And you find many people who say that today. Shaykh said, some people say this, that shirk, what is shirk? It's shirk regarding al-hakimiyya, judgment and legislation. And this has appeared now, unfortunately. Al-hukum bighayri ma anzal Allah naw'un min anwa'i shirk yusamma shirk al-ta'a. Shaykh said, so judging by other than that which Allah sent down is a type from the types of shirk called shirk al-ta'a, called shirk of obedience. And he explains this. He said, there is no doubt that obeying a created being in declaring lawful that which Allah has made forbidden, or in declaring forbidden that which Allah has made lawful, this is a type of shirk. No doubt, this is a type of shirk. However, there is that which is more serious than it. The Shaykh has made clear, this is some, no doubt, a type of shirk. That Allah has made something forbidden, someone makes it lawful, and you follow them upon that. Or vice versa. No doubt, this is a type of shirk. The Shaykh said, however, there is that which is more serious than it, and it is worshipping other than Allah by slaughtering and making vows and performing tawaf and calling for rescue. So what is obligatory is to warn against all shirk, and not just to particularize one type of shirk, for example shirk in hakimiyya, shirk in judgment and legislation, and to make that the sole part of shirk that we focus upon. Shaykh said, no, what is obligatory is to warn against all shirk, not to take up something from it, and to leave aside that which is worse and more dangerous than it. So shirk is not to be explained as being only shirk al-hakimiyya. Shirk is not to be explained as being only shirk in judgment and legislation, only, or shirk in political affairs. And they say, and then Shaykh Fawzan gives an example of these people who say this, who stress upon this. He said, and they say, "Ash-shirku bil-qubur hadha shirkun savage." Shaykh said, what these people say? They say, shirk of the graves, this is just simple shirk. I mean, it is something easy. That's what you find these people. They reduce the importance. They say what's most important is political affairs, judgment, judging by what Allah sent down. Shirk with regard to that is the major shirk, most important shirk. As for shirk of the graves, it's just something, you know, something minor. They reduce the importance of it. So the Shaykh is quoting what they say here. Is that they say, shirk of the graves, this is just simple shirk. I mean, it is something easy. Then the Shaykh refutes and says, this is jara'ah, this is insolence towards Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Shirk is the worst thing that Allah has forbidden. and it is to call upon something else besides him, along with him. This is shirk. This is shirk. This is the true definition of shirk. Not to take one aspect of it or one part of it and define it as being the whole thing. Then he said, describing another saying of some people, and from them are those who say, shirk is to have love of the dunya. Shirk is to have love of this world and to have love of wealth. And then he refutes that. This is a saying which you find, for example, just a side point, for example, amongst the Tablighis, Tablighi Jamaat. When they define shirk, they define it as like this, having love for this world, having love for the things of this world. So the Shaykh refutes this. He said, and from them are those who say, shirk is having love for this world and having love of wealth. Then he said, wealth, al-mal, wealth, is something which Allah has made beloved to people with their natural love. And people by their love, their natural love, hub tabi'i, they love wealth. People naturally love wealth. And the Shaykh quotes three ayahs as proof for this. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا Surah Al-Fajr, the 89th surah, ayah 20, with the explanation, And you love wealth with immense love. Then Shaykh Fawzan quotes the second ayah. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ Surah Al-Adiyat, the 100th surah, ayah 8. With the explanation, and indeed he, man, is certainly fervent in love of wealth. And the Shaykh explains the word al-khayr to mean, he said, meaning wealth. Wealth. So with the eye, with the explanation, and he, man, is certainly fervent in love of wealth. Then the Shaykh quotes the third ayah. قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ The ayahs all up to his saying, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ Surah Tawbah, the 9th surah, ayah 24. And the ayah is a long ayah. The Shaykh is just indicating ayah by quoting the two parts of the ayah. What's the ayah being a long ayah with a list of things mentioned? The ayah with the explanation, say, if your fathers and your children, the ayah to the end, and then the part of the ayah with the explanation, are more beloved to you. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he said, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ If these things mentioned in the ayah, fathers, sons, tribes, so on, if these things are أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ more beloved to you, Shaykh Fawzan said, he did not criticize them for loving them. Allah the Most High did not criticize people for loving, for having love of their fathers, having love of their children. Rather, he criticized them for giving precedence to love of them over the love of Allah. That's what was criticized. Not having love of your fathers, love of your children, but for giving precedence to that love over the love of Allah. That's what's been criticized in the ayah. Shaykh said, love of wealth is not shirk, because it is mahabba tabi'iyya. It is a natural love. The people have need of wealth, and they love it. Love of wealth is not shirk, because it is a case of love of things which are beneficial, through which the people derive benefit. Then the Shaykh comments upon these people who say that. He said, however those people who say this, however those people who say these sayings, either they are juhal, either they are ignorant people, they do not know tawheed and shirk, or otherwise they are people who deliberately turn away. They want to turn the people away from these realities towards things which they want and purposes which they desire. And Allah knows best about people's intentions and goals. You know, people who say that wealth, love of wealth is shirk, or love of this world is shirk, and the same which you mentioned before. Either they're ignorant people, or they're people who've got their own goals behind this, behind diminishing the seriousness of true shirk. Then the Shaykh said, so what is important is that this is not shirk. Love of wealth and love of this world is not shirk. Shirk is to call upon other than Allah along with him, or to direct anything from the types of worship to other than Allah, such as sacrifice, slaughtering, and making vows, and dua, making supplication, and calling for rescue, and seeking aid, and turning for refuge, and fear, and hope, and other than that. This is shirk, directing any of these things to other than Allah. This is shirk, which is the greatest of sins. Calling upon other than him, along with him, he the perfect and most high. Because ad-du'a, supplication, is the greatest type of worship. Just as he, the one free of all imperfections, said, لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُونَ لَهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ Surah Al-Ra'ad, the 13th surah, ayah 14, with the explanation, the true call is that which is for Allah, and those whom they call upon besides him cannot respond to them with anything. Then Shaykh Fawzan quotes a further ayah as evidence with regard to the importance of dua, supplication, that it is the greatest type of worship. He said, فَادْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ Surah Ghafir, the 40th surah, ayah 14, with the explanation, so call upon Allah, invoke and call upon Allah, making the religion purely and sincerely for him, even though the disbelievers detest it. Shaykh Fawzan said, so supplicating, making dua to other than Allah is shirk. It is the shirk which Allah and his messenger made forbidden. As for these lesser matters, in referring back to the point of those people who say other than this, give a different definition at all of shirk. He said, as for these lesser matters which they declare shirk to be, then that is not the case. However, it is to be said, some of them are a part of shirk. In the first thing the Shaykh referred to, saying with regard to hakimiyyah, matters of judgment and legislation, Shaykh already said this is a type of shirk, referring that to other than Allah, making lawful that which Allah has made forbidden, and vice versa. This is a type of shirk. So the Shaykh said here, and then he followed that, as we heard, he followed that by the saying that those people who say love of this world or love of wealth is shirk. And he summarized and said, as for these lesser matters which they declare shirk to be, then that is not the case. Rather, it is to be said, some of them are a part of shirk. However, there is that which is more dangerous than it and more important than it, because shirk is of levels. Some of them are worse than others, and Allah's refuge is sought. Stressing the point again, we don't just take one aspect of shirk and focus upon just that. Then comes the saying of the author, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. He continues giving evidence for this. He said, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَأْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And the proof, I mean the proof of what he just quoted before, that shirk is calling upon other than Allah along with him, he said, and the proof is his saying, He the Most High, and he quotes the ayah from Surah An-Nisa, the 4th surah, ayah 36, with the explanation, and worship Allah and do not associate anything along with him. Shaykh Fawzan commented, his saying, and the proof is his saying, He the Most High, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, the ayah with the explanation, and worship Allah and do not associate anything with him. Shaykh Fawzan said, we have said that the proof, that the greatest thing which Allah has commanded is Tawheed, is his saying, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. In this same ayah is a proof that the greatest thing that Allah has called, commanded, is At-Tawheed. The same ayah that's already occurred. With the explanation, and worship Allah and do not associate anything with Him. Then he mentioned the rest of the rites. In the continuation of the ayah, he mentioned the rest of the rites. So the fact that he began with Tawheed and with the prohibition of Shirk, this is a proof that Tawheed is the greatest thing which Allah has commanded. Because he said, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, the ayah with the explanation, and worship Allah. And he followed it by his saying, وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, with the explanation, and do not associate anything along with him. So this is a prohibition. He began with a command for Tawheed and a prohibition from Shirk. So this proves that the greatest thing that Allah has commanded is Tawheed, and the worst thing that He has forbidden is Shirk. Because Allah began with that. And He, the Perfect, does not begin except with the most important thing, and then what is next in importance. This is the way in which the ayah is a proof. Then there comes the next and main section of the book, the main body of the book, with regard to the three principles which are contained in the title of the book. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he brings a heading here, الرسالة الرابعة الأصول الثلاثة التي تجب معرفتها الأصل الأول معرفة الله عز وجل. He said, the fourth treatise. So here we've completed the first initial three treatises of the book. And he says, the fourth treatise. The three fundamental principles which it is obligatory to have knowledge of. And he mentions the first of them, al-aslu al-awwal, the first fundamental principle, ma'rifatullahi azza wa jal, knowledge and awareness of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And then comes the saying of the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكْ مَا هِيَ الْأُصُولُ الثَّلَاثَةُ الَّتِي تَجِبُ مَعْرِفَتُهَا فَقُلْ مَعْرِفَةُ الْعَبْدِ رَبَّهُ وَدِينَهُ وَنَبِيَّهُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So here comes the first part of the text of the actual main body of the book, the actual three fundamental principles that the author said. So if it is said to you, what are the three fundamental principles which must be known? Then say, the servant's knowledge of his Lord and his religion and his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, he's saying al-usul, the fundamental principles, al-usul. He said this is the plural of asl. Usul is the plural of asl. And he defines what is the meaning of asl in the Arabic language. He said al-asl is that which something else is built upon. Al-asl, a fundamental foundation, is that which something else is built upon. And the word al-far', a branch or a detail, is that which is built on something else. In other words, you have something which is built on some structure. The foundation is the asl. Plural of that is usul. And that which is built subsidiary or as it built upon it, or a detail of it, is called a far', a detail or a branch. He said, so therefore these matters, I mean these matters that are being dealt with here now, knowledge, a person's knowledge of his Lord, his religion, and his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these matters are called usul. Why is that? The Shaykh said, so therefore these matters are called usul, fundamental principles, because other matters from the religion are built upon them. I mean the rest of the religion of Islam is built upon these three fundamental matters: knowledge of our Lord, knowledge of the religion, and knowledge of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore they are called usul, fundamental principles, because the matter of the religion is built upon them. And the whole of the religion pivots upon these three fundamentals. Then the Sheikh brings a grammar point here with regard to the structure of this start of the sentence. He said, he's saying, Ma'rifatul Abdi Rabbahu. And he comments upon the grammar of this sentence. Whoever's covered this grammar, then they'll understand the point without much explanation. And whoever hasn't covered this grammar point, they may find it somewhat difficult to explain. But it's a grammar point anyway. It's just a point of grammar. So he said, so I'll just quickly run through it. The Sheikh said, he's saying, Ma'rifatul Abdi Rabbahu. He said, Rabbahu. His Lord with a fatha on it. Rabbahu. This is mansub. This is in the accusative case, because it is the object of ma'rifah, to know. Because the master, the verbal noun, ma'rifah, knowledge, is attached to the ismul fa'il, is attached to the active particle, al-abd. And the verbal noun, if it is attached to something, it acts in the manner of its verb, with the scholars of the Arabic grammar. So the verbal noun here is attached and it acts in the manner of the verb. So just to summarize this, then the Shaykh is saying that ma'rifatul abdi rabbahu. This word ma'rifah is a noun, but it's behaving as if it were a verb. It's behaving like a verb. It makes the object of the verb mansub. In this case, it means that's clear by the fact that it's got a fatha on it. In other words, it's a case of a noun acting in the manner of the verb. So it's as if it's being said, أَنْ يَعْرِفَ الْعَبْدُ رَبَّهُ. But as we said, it's a purely grammar point. Then the Sheikh said, he's basically just explaining why رَبَّهُ has got a fatha on it. Then the Sheikh said, he's saying, وَدِينَهُ وَنَبِيَّهُ, and his religion and his prophet. This is joined. Ma'tufun alayh, this is also joined. I mean, the same grammar point applies here. It's joined to the word in the accusative case. Then the Sheikh said, these are the fundamentals of the religion in general. Servant's knowledge of his Lord, knowledge of his religion, knowledge of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These are the fundamental principles of the religion in general. And their details will follow in the speech of the Shaykh rahimahullah, if Allah wishes. The rest of the book gives us the details of these three fundamentals. Then the Shaykh raises an important question, that why are these three fundamentals here so important? Why are they particularized and given importance to them? So the Shaykh said, why are these three fundamental principles specifically mentioned? Then the Shaykh answers, because they are the foundations of the religion of Islam, and because they are the matters about which the servant will be asked when he is placed in his grave. They're the fundamentals of Islam, and these are the three questions which a person will be asked when he is placed in his grave. Every person, you and me and everyone, which a person will be asked when he is placed in his grave. These three questions. Because the servant, when he is placed in his grave, and the earth has been laid over him, and the people have departed from him, returning to their families, then two angels will come to him in the grave, and his soul will be returned to his body, and he will be given life, hayatan barzakhiyah. He'll be given a life of the barzakh, life of the transitional period between this life and the hereafter, life of the barzakh. It is not a life like the life of this world. It is a life which Allah knows best about. So they will make him sit up in his grave, and they will say to him, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? وَمَا دِينُكَ, and what is your religion? وَمَنْ نَبِيُّكَ, and who is your prophet? So the believer, the mu'min, the true believer will say, رَبِّي اللَّهُ وديني الإسلام ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيه. So the true believer will say, my Lord is Allah, and my religion is Islam, and Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is my prophet. So it will be said to him, كيف عرفت? How did you know that? So he will say, I read the book of Allah. So I understood it, and I knew. So then a caller will call out, that Sadaqa Abdi, my servant has spoken the truth. So they will lay out for him a bed from Jannah, from paradise. And they will open for him a door to paradise. And his grave will be extended for him as far as the eye can see. And the fragrance of paradise and its gentle breeze will come upon him. So he will look to his living place in paradise and he will say, Ya Rabbi, Aqim al-Sa'a. O my Lord, establish the hour so that I can return to my family and my wealth. Then the Shaykh said, as for the Murtab, as for the doubter, the person of doubts, who lived upon misgivings and doubt and lack of certainty, even if he claimed to be upon Islam, if he had doubts and misgivings about the religion of Allah, like the munafiq, like the hypocrite, then he, I mean, what will happen to him in the grave? He will stutter, he will stammer. So when they say to him, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? He will say, La Adri, I do not know. And when they say, Ma Dinuk, what is your religion? He will say, La Adri, I do not know. And when it is said, Man Nabiyuk, who is your prophet? He will say, La Adri. Ha, ha, La Adri. سَمِعْتُ النَّاسِ يَقُولُونَ شَيْئًا فَقُلْتُ. And he will say, when he said to him, who is your prophet? He will say, I do not know. Ha, ha, I do not know. I heard the people saying something, so I said it. In a footnote they mention that verification of this hadith is preceded on page 20, that's page 20 of this Lebanese edition. And as we had there, this hadith is reported in abridged form by Al-Bukhari, that's hadith 1338, and by Muslim, as hadith 2870, from a hadith of Anas, radiallahu anhu. And the full long hadith about the questioning in the grave, the full long hadith is reported by Abu Dawood, as hadith 4753, from a hadith of Al-Bara' ibn Azib, radiallahu anhu. And it was declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. So then Shaykh al-Fawzan continued, referring to this last person, meaning that in the world he used to just say whatever the people said without having Iman, true faith, and Allah's refuge is sought. This hypocrite who outwardly displayed Islam whilst he did not believe it in his heart, rather he outwardly showed it to gain worldly benefits, to gain the benefits of this world. So he said, in the world, my Lord is Allah. But he did not truly believe it. His heart denied it, and Allah's refuge is sought. He used to say, my religion is Islam. But he did not have Iman in Islam. He did not truly believe in Islam. His heart denied it. He used to say, my prophet is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he did not truly believe in his in the messengership of Muhammad in his heart. Rather, he said it upon his tongue only. This is the munafiq, this is the hypocrite. So it will be said to him, La darait wa la talait. You did not read, and you did not, or rather, you did not know, and you did not read. So he will be struck with an iron sledgehammer, which will cause him to scream in such a manner that if men and jinn were to hear it, they would drop down dead. It will be heard by everything except for mankind, if he were to hear it, he would fall down dead, meaning he would die from terror. I mean, if men were to hear that scream of the hypocrite, they would die in terror of that, what they heard. Then the Sheikh said, and he will be crushed in his grave until his ribs cross over, and a gate to the fire will be opened for him, and its fierce and poisonous wind, its samum, its fierce and poisonous wind will come upon him, and its heat, and he will say, O my Lord, do not establish the hour. Obviously he knows that the hour will be even worse. So he said, he will say, O my Lord, do not establish the hour. Sheikh said, this will be his life and his condition in the grave, and Allah's refuge is sought. Because he did not give the correct answer. And therefore, a caller will call out, An kadhaba abdi, that my servant has lied. So they will lay out for him a bed from the fire. And they will open for him a door to the fire, and Allah's refuge is sought. So then the Sheikh said, so since these matters are this important, it is obligatory upon us to learn them and to hold them as our creed and belief. And it is not sufficient just to learn them alone. Rather, we learn them and we hold them as our creed, and we have iman in them, we believe in them, and we act upon them for as long as we live, hoping that Allah makes us firm at the questioning in the grave. Allah the Most High says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Surah Ibrahim, the 14th Surah, Ayah 27, with the explanation, Allah makes firm those who truly believe with the firm saying in the life of this world and in the hereafter. And Allah misguides the disbelieving wrongdoers. And Allah does whatever He wishes. Shaykh Fawzan said, So these three fundamental principles have tremendous importance. And therefore the Shaykh focused upon them in this treatise. And he clarified them, so that we should study them and carefully examine them, or carefully study them, and so that we should hold them as our creed and belief and act upon them, hoping that Allah should make us and you firm with the firm saying in the life of this world and in the hereafter. Walhamdulillah, sallallahu ala Muhammad. And then what follows is the detailed explanation of the first of these principles. فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكْ مَنْ رَبُّكَ فَقُلْ رَبِّيَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي رَبَّانِي وَرَبَّى جَمِيعَ الْعَالَمِينَ بِنِعْمَتِي. So if it is said to you, who is your Lord? And say, my Lord is Allah, to the end. So take that next time, inshallah. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. If there are any points of clarification, then catch me after if you can, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Interesting case.
I always argue with my wife, otherwise we use the office.
This is a new one that we're talking about. You know, this is not my game.
It's a new toy, I mean.
That's what I just...